The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, we're on the final page here, page 3 of your notes, Doctrine of Surpassing Grace. And Roman numeral here, 13. All right, let's take the customary time to make the necessary adjustment to the intake of Bible doctrine. We have been given God the Holy Spirit, and He is the one in the Godhead who leads us and directs us into all truth. So let's take the usual time to prepare ourselves. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. And we thank You that our faith in Jesus Christ has made us overcomers. And furthermore, we are grateful that we have the lamp of Your Word to guide us through these very dark and corrupt times. Bless this Bible class to our edification and encouragement to produce eternal reward. In Christ's name, amen. Surpassing joy and celebration awaits those who receive the full allotment of SG3 at the Bema seat, which, by the way, refers to the ultimate in SG3, which you recognize to be the crown of glory or the wreath. This award only is available to those believers who lock in with Bible doctrine and persevere truly to the end of phase 2 or to the rapture. And the first scripture we have in this regard is 1 Peter 4:13, which links this to Christians suffering. This is a big theme in Peter's letter. These believers, and word had come to him that they were under a lot of persecution due to their faith and their belief system and their separation from their former lives of vanity and corruption, coming out of and turning away from the idolatry of their pagan civilization. So he informs them that to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, always remember that our Lord suffered. He suffered a lot of things, not just the final sufferings related to His crucifixion, but He suffered throughout His lifetime misunderstanding, contradiction, the various things. There were those that wanted Him dead, and they made moves in that direction, but all those were frustrated because it wasn't the time or the place. But until His arrest, there's no evidence at all in the gospel records that anyone ever laid a hand on Him to do Him harm. God has all of our sufferings under consideration and monitors and controls these sufferings for our good. Whether we think it is or not, whether we're in fellowship or not, He works all these things for our good. No, we don't immediately see that, but we will realize it eventually. Sometimes in time, and sometimes it'll have to wait to phase 3. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing. the opposite of what you would expect of being miserable and all the mental attitude stuff that goes on. You know you are suffering for the righteous cause, the cause of Christ, the cause of truth. And so if you suffer these things through others, there's other types of sufferings, of course, we are to keep on rejoicing. And so that also at the revelation of his glory, that's to the church in general, at the rapture, the revelation of his glory, we will see Jesus Christ in all of his glory when he comes from the third heaven, and the church is resurrected and brought to him. You may rejoice with exultation on a level that is completely off the charts in terms of people celebrating their what they consider to be their good fortune. But this is reserved for those who hang in there and suffer to the end, whatever comes up. One day at a time, we move forward at the revelation of his glory, so that you may rejoice with exultation. Jude 24. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling. Stumbling here refers to a fatal stumbling, not just, one, everyday sins, or a bigger one, a bout with reversionism, as in the story of the prodigal. Spiritual recovery. He is able to keep you from stumbling. This is regard to the faith and giving up for all the different reasons that believers become casualties in the angelic conflict. There's no reason for any of us to become a casualty. Come what may, it is all under the control of God, like human history. He controls this. He monitors this. Yes, it is sad to look at our world, to look at our country, our civilization, and see it disintegrating beyond what it even was before in its final days or years. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless, with great joy. That only awaits those that qualify for the ultimate award. Many believers will receive various degrees of SG3. This is brought out it's brought out in the New Testament in Hebrews, God is not so unfaithful as to forget our past SG3 contributions. Once a believer makes application, they're going to get SG3 for divine good. But that does not guarantee that they will persevere to the end. See, that's the ultimate goal. However late in the game or however long you've been connected with the truth. As I've said before, even a believer who comes on late in the game, so to speak, and is positive, and God will judge that, he will give them the crown too. That's in one of the parables. The story of the individual who came on people who received a daily wage. They worked labor in a field for a farmer, and at the end of every day, he would bring them all in and give them a day's pay. And this one, and he'd go out into the town and the marketplace and find new individuals who are willing to work. And the individual who came in at the very last hour gets the same pay as someone who worked all day in the heat and gets the same thing. And others were objecting to it. That's that parabolic story. See, this is the good farmer, the good employer, who realizes that, yes, he's going to show some charity towards this individual, but he's also doing it to encourage the individual to come back, because it was a day by day job. Whoever showed up and did a day's work got a day's pay every day in that parable. And the others were griping about it. But anyway, that's brought out. So someone can't offer the argument, well, it's too late for me. It isn't too late. You hook up with the plan at your level spiritually, what you know, and start making spiritual progress through the assimilation of divine viewpoint. Those that have done it late in the game. Obviously, they don't have the time to build the individual SG3 package. I think the thief on the cross, who had a very brief phase two, he believed, he said the right thing on the cross, he rebuked his associate in crime, made a statement, and that was it. It's like a deathbed confession. But he pulled all together, made a brilliant statement, told the individual that regarding Jesus, he's done nothing wrong. We deserve what we get. It's kind of like a sudden acclamation to it. He wasn't saying, oh, this isn't fair, blah, blah, blah. I guess you could say he was acclimated to his niche. And his whole phase two niche was a few hours before his death was hurried up by the breaking of their legs. Anyway, by contrast, point 14, shame awaits believers who fail to attain to full SG3. This is the only record I have of a really bad experience on the part of believers in their resurrection bodies, when you normally would think they'd be very happy in everything. And they will be after the fact. They'll acclimate. They're not going to be treated, you know, bad by other crown-wearing believers. No STAs are involved. No one will have to say anything. It'll be accepted. We'll all be together after the fact. But the event itself, and now, little children, abide in him. You can't be in fellowship and reject doctrine. Walk away from it. You can't even be in fellowship and misapply doctrine, much less repudiate it and go off under selfish ambition and pursue your own non-doctrinal interests in violation of the directive will of God. You got here this evening. You knew it's the directive will, hopefully, and you made the effort. So that when he appears, we may have confidence. Those that did it right, past and down to the end, when they get there, they're not going to be, as far as I can see, wondering in the moments before the actual revelation of whether an individual qualified or not, those who stand there will have confidence. They died in the truth. They had sound doctrine. They will have confidence. They won't be there wondering what's going to happen next. The rest will have the realm of doctrine as well. And they'll go, oops, this isn't going to be overall a pleasant experience. They will appreciate their SG3 package if they're a believer that has any of it coming. Because we've seen God is not unfaithful to forget what you've done for Him in fellowship in the past. He says to the Hebrew Christians, and He's encouraging them to get out of the tailspin that some of them were in, and the sliding away, and the soul fainting that they were under because of their fairly prolonged period of some decades of persecution living among the Jews, Christians. And they put up with all that type of abuse that the general population put on them. But they were going to be vindicated in time. The rest of them were going to be ravaged by the Roman invasion. But they were given a heads up by Jesus in the Gospels. When you see the Roman legions marshaling up, and news got around, you pack your bags and relocate. So they got out before the storm hit. They could, if they abided by that. They had a prophetic guidepost to go by. So that when He appears, we may have confidence. See, that's in the Greek, that's a subjunctive. It depends on the individual and their perseverance to the end. We have a phenomenal example, of course, in our Lord, who did not deviate from what He had to do before Him, and He knew what was coming. He knew what was coming. He knew this, whereas for you and I, what tomorrow may bring, we may have a few things telegraphed to us coming, but we don't know those things. We just go with what tomorrow may bring. Good news, bad news, this or that. And for those of us who have suffered, and we all have for our faith, a variety of things, you hang in there, and your SG3 will be great. Whatever others have said or done, it doesn't matter. Nothing around here has changed. Yes, we've had spiritual development and growth in Scripture. That's expected, including the pastor. I didn't walk in here years ago, decades ago, with all of this figured out. I had enough figured out to start building this edifice of truth that is essential to us. Always pray for that, and that the information is made available that we may not be realized at this point. We may have confidence and not shrink away from Him in shame at His coming. So that clearly tells you that those who shrink away are believers that failed to make the grade. They flunked the finished course. They didn't finish it out. A lot of grace and allowances are made for sin, failure on even a big scale. We've studied these believers. And these are the ones that bounce back. They changed their mind, they confessed their sins, they cleaned up their act, and they got back on track. Or they didn't. And went on to die without honor. the honor that is reserved for those who emulate Christ and finish their course. Two essential ingredients are necessary for believers to earn SG3. Being in fellowship and the function of GAP. Those, I've referenced this so many times because it is important to understand that it makes no sense to say, someone may feel like they do, okay? You can feel like a lot of things. That you love God. You love the Lord. If you love me, you will keep my works, learn my word, and all the rest of it. Those that don't, it's just rhetoric. John 15 in the deal with the grapevine here. Where Christ is the main stalk of the vine, the central stalk of a grapevine, and then there are branches that go off of it, of course. And these branches go off of it and in due time are to bear fruit, grapes. especially here, in verses 4 and 5, here's the formula. Abide in me. That isn't stay saved. Abide in me. Stay in fellowship. And I in you. This will be explained later on. Christ in us is Bible doctrine in the soul, spirit. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. That's where it draws its sustenance, through the vine that has a root system and brings this up to each branch. And each branch is represented by a believer. He bears much fruit, divine good production. For apart from me, relationship with Christ through Bible doctrine, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, in other words, genuinely be in fellowship and following the truth, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. That refers to the destruction of the individual's divine human good production and the fact that they end their life as failed Christians. They're still Christians, no. They're just failed Christians. And then it is explained in verse 7, furthermore, if you didn't get it. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, which is equivalent to I in him, verse 5. My words. Doctrine found in the scripture. And my words abide in you. There's a prayer promise here that if you do this to that level, one, you'll be asking and making requests before God that are legitimate, and you will see answers. So you can exploit this, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Now this could be distorted. You have to ask in accordance with the directive will of God. You have to ask in accordance with what is your will and what is best for me. But you can ask for things. You can make requests for things. As long as it's sponsored by doctrine and you're led of the Holy Spirit to do this. You do not have because you do not ask, or you ask and you don't have faith when you ask. If you keep stumbling over that one, keep trying till you can launch it in faith. That's your priesthood as a believer to do this. And the one I was making passing reference to earlier is Hebrews 6. This is the one I was making passing reference to. Sorry. That was the one about God is not unfaithful to forget your SG3 which you commit. Okay. Hebrews 6, another analogy to the plant world. For the ground that drinks the water, which often falls on it, rain, and brings forth vegetation useful to those for whose sake it is also tilled, that's stirring up the soil. We all understand that. The tilling of the soil, breaking it up, for the reasons that you're familiar with, receives a blessing from God. But if it yields, the soil, of course, refers to volition, thorns and thistles, it is worthless and close to being cursed, and it ends being burned. Again, another one of those burned passages. And finally, last point, looks like we're going to have a short Bible class this evening. We should be preoccupied with the accumulation of SG3. And even if we have, as I've said in past history, a short Bible class and you've got a child being taught, then you just wait it out. They're in a good place. They're being told about God and His plan. I believe you understand that. We should be preoccupied with accumulation of SG3. I've quoted this many, many times. While we look not at the things which are seen, that's not our MPR, the things which are seen. Take them or leave them. If they're appropriate, you can take them. The things which are seen, that's anything out there. Anything that you can focus your attention on in the material realm or in the realm of human experience. This is not our MPR, the things which are seen. Because for the healthy and normal believer, they are willing to forsake any of these things if push comes to shove. While we look not at the things which are seen, and as I've said over and over again, as a result of spiritual growth and development, I do not envy the prosperous, negative crowd out there. Not in the least. I see where they're headed in their lives. I do not envy them. They can have it. It's temporal. And they end up like all the prosperous and wealthy ones before them, having a good time doing this, then going through the final stages. Maybe an unexpected catastrophe can occur, or just, you know, an expensive funeral. Then it's the end. That's why with Paul I can say, if push comes to shove, I'm willing to give up all things so that I can win Christ. Another synonym for SG3. If it has to come down to it, I'll do it just like that. That's how I feel right now. Of course, it's easy to say, and it's another matter to do it. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, that you can't see through your senses. These are not our priority. It has become the priority for some believers. They've gone off and followed after their own desires. And some of these things that they pursue that in themselves aren't bad. It's just they put them, you know, like in the parable, they don't weed their garden. For the things which are seen are temporal. We all, down deep, recognize that. These things are temporal. So any human viewpoint about, you know, this is all there is, This is not a dress rehearsal. Make the most of this life. Go for your dream. I was listening to a song like that. You know, get your own potential. That clearly is sponsored by someone who has no afterlife hope of any significance. Because all the things you and I possess, they're going to be left behind for others to mess with and be turned radioactive in the case of in this country and left ruined. It's in Revelation 17. So much great wealth is trashed. No one can even come in and salvage it. They won't, one, be allowed to, and two, they'll want to keep their distance because it's a radioactive environment. So all this stuff that you see, collections, wealth, buildings, properties, the details of life, that's it. We get raptured, or you die first, you leave it all behind to others to deal with. But the things which are not seen are eternal. And all the specifics, and as I said before, I run into a brick wall trying to explain SG3 in concrete terms, unlike I can explain things in this life that are, you know, nice, wonderful, and all the rest. And so, an exhortation from Colossians 3:3, set your mind on the things above. In your daily walk as a Christian, be occupied with the things above. The person of Christ, your SG3 account, contributing to it. Go through another day. If you're suffering in some way or another, and we all are in one way or another, some may be more extreme in certain examples, get in there with it and hang in there with it and ring up SG3. Keep your mind on the things which are above, which not on the things which are on the earth. Look at all the television programming that is devoted to the things on the earth. Really? Like I said, I only, and I'm not trying to be self-righteous, please, but I only see a passing thing about people who are thrilled to death because on a program where they are doing the remodeling of a home and making it look real snazzy, and they do. And these people are happy, which is fine in the sense of, but they probably don't have any upward look, the things which are not seen. That's not it. That's not in the mentality. This is the end all for a lot of people. Not anything beyond that. Some of them may be believers, but still. I don't know about you, but I don't think I heard hardly anything in the fundamentalist church in my early years as a Christian. I never heard anything about the importance of eternal rewards. Passing references and reading scriptures don't cut it. You have to explain it and break it down for people and tell them that you can lay up reward for your hell, for yourself, but tell you what condition you have to be in fellowship. Like I said, I'm going to, as well as the rest of it, have a bunch of human good burned up. It wasn't done in fellowship, even if it was the right thing to do. Work hard one day, do all this, and as you spend this time out of fellowship, you have to try to get the presence of a rebound and get in fellowship. Don't let your SDA have its way. Break from that. Generic rebound works. Bad mental attitudes doesn't cut it. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Another final exhortation. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. Each of these words has a mean. That means you're going to keep plugging along. Immovable. You're not going to let anything move you away from the MPR principle. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Knowing that your toil and some of the Christian, our lives and things we do involve toil is not in vain in the Lord. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.